Hello, and welcome to Market Week in Review for the week ending September 1st, 2023. I'm your host, Michelle Bajargal, and today I'm joined by our Director of Investment Strategies, Shay Kshatriya. Hi, Shay.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Well, we have quite a bit to talk about today. We'll start with the U.S. labor markets. There's plenty of details for us to discuss, but perhaps we'll start with JOLTS. Bureau of Labor and Statistics on Tuesday released job opening and labor turnover survey. So maybe we can start there and you can walk us through a little bit more detail and what are the key takeaways?
For sure. Of course, when we think about the labor market, the gold standard in a sense is the non-farm payroll report, and that will be coming out on Friday morning, but we are recording this on Thursday afternoon, so we don't have that bit of information. But to your point, Michelle, we did get the JOLTS report, and that does give us a sense. Now, it is for July, but it does give us a sense on the underlying labor demand for the U.S. economy, which is also a very important input for the Fed. So what did the JOLTS report tell us is that the labor demand is actually continuing to come down. It's trending down, which is a good thing. And actual job openings were slightly less than expected at 8.8 million jobs. Now, this number is significantly less than where it peaked previously at 12 million, but it's still slightly above the pre-pandemic level of around 7 million. So clearly, there's progress been made, but a little bit more work needs to be done. But I think the other important anecdote that came through from the JOLTS report was the quits rate. So those folks that are actually actively quitting, which is also a confidence measure of the labor market, and that number has been trending down. And in the most recent report, it's actually now back at its pre-pandemic level. So, you know, fewer people are voluntarily quitting, which is, again, a good sign in terms of the labor market cooling. But of course, you know, when we think about the gold standard, it is the non-farm payroll report. And the consensus right now is for about 150 to 170,000 jobs. Now, if the number actually does come out in and around those levels, then that'll likely mean, you know, from a Fed outlook perspective, it's probably neutral. But anything above 200,000 is clearly more on the hawkish side. So clearly, the non-farm payroll report is something that will be monitoring closely and the reaction thereafter.
Great. We'll definitely be keeping our eye on non-farm payroll. So maybe next we'll talk about inflation both in Eurozone and the U.S. And what are the key takeaways there?
For sure. So let's start with the U.S. and we'll start with the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, which is the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, or also more popularly known as the PCE Price Index. So this was for July, and the headline rate increased 3.3%, while the core PCE increased 4.2%. Now, both were slightly higher than the prior month, but both were also well within expectations. So there wasn't really a surprise as it relates to the PCE data. However, you know, the core at 4.2 is still slightly more than double the Fed's target, which is, we know, is 2%. The other bit of information that came through from the PCE is on personal spending or personal consumption data for July, and that was also slightly on the stronger front, right? So you still have consumers that are spending in the month of July. So when you kind of take it together, inflation, which is, you know, continuing to moderate but still above target, and the spending data, which was slightly on the stronger side in July, that'll likely keep the Fed staying restrictive. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they'll be hiking rates, but clearly on the restrictive front. Now, switching to Europe, where the situation is clearly a lot more tricky. So as it relates to inflation, coincidentally, both the headline and core inflation rates in the Eurozone increased by 5.3% in August, and that was roughly in line with expectations. But the interesting bit is that Europe is a little bit more economically challenged, let's say, than the U.S., where we are starting to see more tangible evidence of weakening in the European economy. So, for instance, this week, we also got money supply growth data, which showed that money supply actually contracted in the euro area for July. And we also know business and consumer confidence has been weakening in the euro area as well. So for the ECB, you know, there's obviously some conflicting information there, where on the economic front, things are clearly seeming to be slowing down, but on the inflation front, it's still above target. So with the ECB still, you know, focused on inflation and bringing that back to target, it likely means, like for the Fed, that the ECB will need to stay restrictive for the time being.
Well, thank you for sharing your insights, Shay. And thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week.